Hey, thanks for coming out. I think it's fantastic to see you all here and just to know that you're interested in the future and the direction of LMC. And believe it or not, I'm excited about what God is doing. Really excited. I have a sense of anticipation. In fact, this morning I was quite emotional when I saw all those people come out the front and I saw that young man get saved and listen to what Alan had to share. And just, I really realize that what we have to share tonight and what God is doing, I think is a part of one of those pivotal parts and times for the life of this church. I've been in this church now for 37 years, 38 years, been on staff 30 years, and there's been numbers of times that I would actually call marked times. And tonight, and what we have to share with you, I think is a marked time. One of those ones that we can put in our front of our Bibles and say the actual date and this is when God did and this is when God started doing something. And, you know, I don't think that you're going to actually hear too much that's going to rocket you and make you feel well in the sense of it's different. But I think it's going to create a sense of anticipation, excitement and a knowledge that this place is rock solid. And that God is in charge of what he's doing. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you, or I thank you, Lord God, for the people that have turned out. I thank you for just the, not only the interest in the future of LMC, but just the knowledge that those that have turned out want to partner and want to be a part of what you're doing. And that, Father, that speaks not only encouragement to me and the elders, but, Lord God, to those that have gone before. And I just give you thanks for that. And so we pray that you would overshadow us tonight, that you would just guide and lead us, and that there would be an outworking of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to share just a little bit of the journey of how we've got to where we've got to, and obviously you will think that the journey started when Dave gave us the announcement that he was leaving. Can you turn that down a little bit for me, please? Thanks. When Dave was leaving, and yet for me, this has been a journey for some time. When I was appointed the senior pastor about 13 years ago, there were some aspects of Life Ministry Centre that weren't too healthy. And I knew that I was coming into a little bit of a pressure situation, and there was a sense of, for me anyhow, that God was saying, Graham, we need to get this place healthy again. We need to get it back on track again. And so together with the elders, I think over the last 13 years, we've seen God turn something around that had a little bit of sickness in it, and he's put us back onto that footing, that direction, that vision that he planted in Pastor Oxley's life so many years ago. And I need to tell you that the place is healthy. The school has grown amazingly. The church itself is extremely healthy and continued to grow. And you've got to understand, and this is no criticism, no judgment, but we did lose quite a number of people in those early years of my ministry here in the senior role. In fact, that was quite a good time. You know, how's it going, Graham? Well, we've lost another 50 people this week. Oh, that's good. Oh, going well, Graham. So, you know, when you consider where we've come from and where we've gone, I believe that God has been incredibly gracious and God has done something. But for me, I know that it's not what God has done that's important. It's what God is going to do. And so I believe that God has placed on my heart that I have not 10 years until I finish, because that's up to God, and I'm not saying that I'm leaving, but I believe that for the next 10 years of my role here in the church, it's to raise up and to train up and to make certain that we have a generation that is going to take this place on for another 50 years. And so that's a very important thing. And so probably for about the last 2 years, I have really been thinking about that, really been praying about that. How do we do that, God? What is it that you want us to do? Recognizing that our organization is very, very different to many other organizations. We're not just a church. In many eyes, we're an $18 million business. We have a school of over 1,000. We employ 180 people. Our wages this year will top about $14 million. It's a big organisation, and many, many people put their trust and confidence in the eldership and in the directors, in the school council, in the staff that do such an amazing job here. And so when we talk about the future, we don't just have the joy of saying, well, we don't like that anymore. We're going to do this, or we're going to do that, or we're going to go there. In fact, we have people that have children who are only born a year ago who have booked their children into our school, who have actually paid their enrolment fee to put their kids into our school, knowing that it could be 3 or 4 years before they're in the school, and then knowing that they've got another 14 years as a part of our school. They're trusting, they're putting their confidence in us as a leadership, that that school is going to hold true to the values that we have right now. Now again, our school is different to many schools, because our school is not a parent-controlled school. It's not a government school. It's not a school run by a parents and friends association. It's a school that's run by the eldership. It's overseen and covered by the eldership of this church. Now, we're not educators, and Joyce would say amen to that, but we know what God has called us to do. And we make certain that we have talented and gifted people who can do the education, but it's our job to make certain the vision and the mission stays the same. And so whatever we do here tonight, and whatever I announce tonight, doesn't just have a bearing on us. It has a bearing over this whole property for the future. And so when we talk like this, I want you to know that an awful lot of thought has gone into this. A lot of prayer has gone into it. We haven't rushed into anything, and we've applied the same spiritual principles and guidelines that we would say to any of you. We have to learn and to know the will of God. We have peace. We know that it's on the Word, and we know that God is guiding and leading us through many of the things. And for those of you that have sent us notes, sent us emails with your thoughts, we thank you for that, because we didn't just throw them out. We read them, we looked at them, we prayed through them and with them as far as all the things we've done. So in short, we're custodians of a vision. I remember being in a meeting some years ago with a lady called Eva Burrows. I don't know whether any of you know Eva Burrows. She was the general over the whole of the Salvation Army of the world. And she was an Australian lady, one of the most dynamic ladies I've ever heard talk. And she was sharing, and we were in a small group together, and we were talking about branding, and we were talking about vision. And the Salvation Army had been right through all of their marketing, their vision, their branding, and all of that. And somebody had suggested to them that their uniform was old, and that nobody would join the Salvation Army because they wore an old uniform and they looked a little bit out of place in the world today. Yet believe it or not, when this worldly marketing group went out into the world and started to ask people about the Salvation Army, their strongest selling point, the thing that made them stand out most in the community, the thing that gave the community the greatest sense of security, was the thing that everyone thought was old, their uniform. And so, not necessarily is what we look at old-fashioned, old-fashioned. And so, what I'm really saying is that you don't have to keep changing your brand to make something modern. You've just got to stay true to your foundations and stay true to the vision. And so the vision of this place, I think, was laid on incredibly strong foundations. And I'm sure if I said to you, what do you think those foundations were? Most of you who know us well would get the answer, the Word of God. Foundations that were laid strong. Foundations that were laid for the future. Foundations that I think are still strong and sure. And foundations that we as an eldership are determined that we will continue to build upon. You know, in 1979, Chris Black, would you come? In 1979, I was at a meeting, and many of you have seen this. I'll try and get it right. There you go. I was at a meeting at Thuna, which is up near Benalla Way, and Pastor Oxy with the eldership got up, and there was no such thing as overhead projections and things like that. Pastor Oxy, in fact, has got wardrobes full of scrolls like this with his charts, we call them, with all of the messages and series that he's preached on it. And he presented this to us. And this was the vision, believe it or not, for the purchase of this property. The property, I think, had had a deposit laid on it, and the elders and Pastor Oxy were sharing with us at that camp what they believed that God was going to do. Just let the others see it. Now, there's some things on that chart that probably will never happen. And when I say probably will never happen, because I say that only because I don't think that we should do it right now. But maybe God has a different plan. The thing that really interests me, and I said this about 4 years ago at a school assembly, was when we opened the gymnasium, that at that time of opening the gymnasium, this chart was 30 years old. And there, right in the middle, is a gymnasium. Now, for 30 years, we had no gym. We had no sports centre on this property. Yet, believe it or not, the vision is still real and alive. And God knew what he was going to do. And so, thanks, Chris. And so, when I say the vision doesn't change, I don't think it does. I think that God laid a vision on the heart of Pastor Oxy and the eldership or the team at that stage, and there's been a journey in the process. But the vision, I think, stays the same. You know, we, I think 10, 11 years ago, actually produced this card because somebody said, hey, we need to have a mission statement and a vision, and we need to have some values written on a bit of paper. Now, I don't know whether I'm really into that stuff, but because everybody pressed us, we did. And there it is. It doesn't change. Living and ministering Christ, that's what we do. That's what it's all about. How are we going to do it? We're going to seek God through prayer and worship. We're going to teach and live the uncompromised word of God. We're going to demonstrate unconditional love. We're going to take the gospel to our community and beyond. We're going to encourage and nurture relationships. We're going to equip and empower ordinary people to live extraordinary lives. And then on the back, there are our values, our statement of faith. You see, that's alive, that's living, that's real. We might change the colour of our logo. We might paint the church walls. We might even get a new sign one day. All those in favour? Motion carried. I need a donation of $5,000 today from somebody. Those things we can do, but they aren't really vision to me. They're just powder coating. They're just things you do. And we might play around the edges in songs or music or things like that, but it doesn't change what I would call the foundations. And so let me say to you now, the foundations do not change. We are a church that's built on the Word of God, and we will stay a church that's built on the Word of God. We're a church who many have put their trust in. We're a church and a school organisation where people now are coming back to. Some are even putting their kids in who would have said back there that they probably would never want to come back onto the property. They're putting their kids into our school because we haven't changed, because the integrity of who we are is still there. In short, we are, I think, a jigsaw puzzle piece that God created 53 years ago. And for me, that jigsaw puzzle piece hasn't changed its shape or its colour. We are a part of the jigsaw puzzle piece that makes up the big picture of the body of Christ in this community. And I personally am very proud of who we are. I'm very proud of how we represent God in our community. And I'm very proud that we make up a part of the body of Christ in this community, in this state, in this country, in this world, and that we can say that we are doing our part. And again, I'm extremely indebted to Pastor Oxy and to the leadership team that started this place off 53 years ago. And for me, And I've said this to many, and particularly Sally Broadley, whom I work so closely with, that it's our job to make certain that we leave this place in as good a condition as we found it in. That the next generation have a solid foundation like we've had to work with. So, with those being the introductory statements, you now know why we've come to some of the conclusions that we've had. We have spent considerable time thinking about it, praying about it. Our elders' meetings, in some ways, for some have been frustrating because instead of laying out a direction and a paper, I asked the elders to come up with their thoughts, and I stayed out in the background so that I didn't see them. And I, again, am just so rapt that I have such a group of godly men around me who love this place, who have heard from God, and who know how to articulate their thoughts. And it's great that we can be so different and so diverse, yet so united in where we're going. And that, again, speaks of strength, speaks of stability, speaks, I think, of a strong foundation. We believe the conclusions we have come to will address many of what we would call our immediate needs, while potentially meeting some of the long-term needs. And again, we have not only just looked at what we need right now, but we have looked at what we believe God would have us to look out 10, 15 years out, if that's possible. Obviously, some of the areas that we will discuss tonight are subject to staff being willing to take up some new areas of responsibility. However, the principle of what I'm going to say tonight doesn't change. So let me talk to you about the immediate needs, the things that as an eldership we felt were needs that required our attention. We saw and looked at the Sunday platform, that's church on a Sunday, our shop front. And some would say that your shop front's the most important thing. That would be a good discussion. You know, what we do on the platform, people come in and they check us out. I don't know whether that's totally true anymore. I think people check us out on our website first. When I looked at the amount of new people we've had in our church in the last 2 years and just started to, in my brain, work out where they came from, believe it or not, a good majority of the people that we attract into our church come because of our incredible children's program, our incredibly strong youth program, and the groups that we have operating outside of church on Sunday. A lot come because of the school. A lot come because they have placed their children in our school. They've moved into the area to be close to the school. The kids are being impacted and touched in chapel and all the things that they do. And all of a sudden they want to be where their kids are. In fact, one parent last week said, "We're only here because we want to check you out, because our kids are coming here and we want to know what they're getting into." They've been back 4 weeks in a row now, and all of a sudden they now like what they see. And they might even make it their church as well. But that's, I think, what happened. So the Sunday platform is certainly an area that we need to look at and we need to address, and we'll talk about that in a minute. The next area that we looked at was the whole area of Bible training. And we'll unpack that. Again, this church was built, I think, mainly on the incredibly strong teaching of Pastor Hal. In fact, I came into this church only for one reason, and that was to hear the Bible preached, because the church that I went to didn't preach the Bible. I came after all the singing because I didn't like the happy clappy club, and I went before it closed because I didn't want to be pounced on by some tongue-speaking person that was going to try and ram that down my throat. And then I kept coming. And then I came to Bible school because I liked the Word of God. And so Bible teaching and Bible training is a part of who we are and a part of our DNA. We looked at the whole area of home groups and leadership training. Because if we're going to have a church that is strong in 10, 15 years' time, we need to train up leaders. We looked at our old children and our youth and our young adults and our young marriage programs, because again, we are a family church. And the family is very important. We looked at our pastoral care system. We looked at the whole of counselling. And then we looked at me and my job and my role. And that was very, very interesting. And we won't talk about that. But before I unpack those headings, I want to talk about staffing. We reviewed our present staff. We looked at the health of the organisation. We looked at what would serve us better in the long term. And we came to the conclusion that rather than going outside and buying in people to fill some of the holes that we saw we had, that we'd be better using our resources to train up from within and to look at the incredible gifts that God has given us from within. And so, page 2, with this in mind, it gives me great pleasure to announce that starting next year, Andrew Hunt and Matt Daly will be joining the ministry team as part of our pastoral staff. And I'd like you to congratulate them right now on that. When I look across our team, I see that we already have an incredibly young team, an amazing group of young people who are already serving in so many ways. And when I look at others outside of Andy and Matt, I recognise that there are already people that the mantle of God is upon. And so I hope that as we move on and move down this plan of action that we've chosen, that we'll be able to resource ourselves to be able to put more of these young people on. And it's not just in the pastoral staff. It's across the whole organisation. You know, I look and see business manager, principal, property manager. Sorry, Alex, you're still here, okay, Alex? There's a whole lot of us that are getting old. There's a whole lot of us that I can't say we're going to fall off the twig. I think Alan was a bit rude to the old people this morning. But I know that we need to be raising up underneath us. The world would call it succession planning. I think it's very important. But how great would it be to, you know, I'm not talking about inbreeding, but how great would it be to be able to staff ourselves from people who have a passion, who have served, who have a call of God upon their lives, to see what God has started in this place go on forever in such a strong way. And so Andy and Matt are just the first of many, I hope. Andy and Matt have proven themselves faithful already. They are already serving in many areas. And as Alan preached this morning, they are and have been prepared to lay down their lives to follow God in the call that he's put upon their lives. And I know that is an amazing call, and I also know it takes amazing courage to step out of the boat and to leave sometimes security to follow what God is calling you to do without knowing where it will lead. So let me make it very clear to everybody. Number one, I'm not leaving. Number two, there's no successor here. We're not putting a target on anyone's back. I was at a meeting once, and the senior pastor got up and brought this young man up onto the platform and said, "This man has got an incredible gift upon his life, and in 5 years' time, he will be taking my spot." He never made it. The poor coot had such a big target on his back that he only made it 2 years before he burnt out and broke down. Andy and Matt and all the others don't have a target on their back. We are joining together as a team to do what God has called us to do. And where God takes us is his business. But I am sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that it will be an incredibly strong team. I remember coming on staff with Pastor Hal. And Pastor Hal and my dad as you could imagine, have had a major influence in my life. I started working with my dad. I worked my first lathe when I was 5 years old. Dad built a box for me to stand on, and he gave me a little job, and it was a very little job because I was a little boy. And I remember he said to me, "If you make a mistake, tell me, because then I can fix it." And then I came on staff here, and Pastor Howell, one of the first things he said to me, he says, "I don't want any surprises. If you make a mistake, tell me so that I'm ready for it." And I made plenty of mistakes, and he was incredibly gracious and loving, and I'm still here. And I know that I and the team will make plenty of mistakes, but I know that our heart is towards God and our desire is to serve him. And I think it's an incredibly exciting journey that we're on right now. So let's look in detail. Let's talk about the Sunday platform first of all, because I know that that's an important part of what we do. I personally believe that we can more than satisfactorily cover the needs of the assembly in the short term from the platform. We've got Alan Meyer, who has agreed to continue to minister for us. I have asked Pastor Oxley whether he would like to come out of retirement. And he's only 95. Come on, fair dinkum. And whether he's got a few sermons still. And he's going to preach for me, or for us next year. He's going to unpack the tabernacle of Moses for us in a series. Maybe once every month, maybe once every 5 to 6 weeks, depending on where we go with that. Alan is going to next year preach a series, so that every time he comes, he will add another lesson to a series, so that we know we're getting a package deal. We've got Dave Burt, I hope, will give us some time on the platform. Of course, I'll be able to do a little bit. We've got Chris, we've got Matt, we've got Nick, and we've got the opportunity of many visiting ministry on the 22nd of January. We've got Clive Caulfield coming from England. He's over in New Zealand. From what I understand from Mark DuPont, an incredibly great Bible teacher, loves the Word of God, prophetic in his mantle, and has been used mightily by God in Ireland and in England in church planning and in just seeing God do things. So we've got him. On the 5th of February, we've got a guy called Paul O'Rourke coming to minister at our dedication service. The guy that wrote Why Satan Hates Our Kids, part of the team that worked with Professor Parkinson on presenting that paper to the government for kids' sake. He was the CEO of Compassion. And then in April, we've got a gentleman coming over, an evangelist coming over from Germany. Brian Carden is bringing him out and has agreed that we could have him for a weekend. So God is already opening the door for visiting ministry to come. And I'm looking to see if we can get visiting ministry that are very different to what we've had, just to bring a different diet into the place. And so I think the preaching focus for next year is very strong already. The thing that we need, or that you need to know, is that the preaching focus will be in a teaching manner. And what we hope and what we plan to bring over the next couple of years from the platform is strong teaching in every way, shape or form, but teaching in a way that you can take it and do something with it and grow. So that's the platform. From a Bible training point of view, which was the next area that the eldership looked at, seeing that we're a little weak in. When we say weak, we're not being critical of any person or any group. We just know that our church has now got an awful lot of people in it who have come from other sieves. And because we don't now run a Bible college like we did, or a Bible school program like we did, that the teaching has been a bit mishmash. And so we want to bring that teaching back into strong foundation of what we're used to and what we believe we were good at, and utilizing the strengths and the DNA of who we are. And so Bible school is one of them. Home groups is another, and then online Bible school will be the third that we'll look at. Let's talk about Bible school. I know that people are busy. I know that our nights are full. I know that Community expectations have changed. Electives, after-school programs, there's just so much on now. Whereas 15, 20 years ago, it wasn't like that. And so to add another night to anybody's week is just nearly impossible. And so we have, as an eldership, decided that Sunday evenings throughout the school term, possibly with the exceptions if we have a visiting ministry in, will be turned into a Bible school format, where we will systematically teach foundational subjects using our Life Ministry Bible College notes that were written and were used for so long in Bible College. I have, I think, four A5 folders of Bible College notes. We have a syllabus there that would keep any Bible college going for 4 or 5 years. They're incredible notes, and they're going to be rewritten in the sense of reformatted and presented in a way that we can put them up online but also use them here. We will look at a syllabus and subject matter that will go over the next 3 to 5 years, so that we're teaching a breadth of subjects, subjects that you would not normally get, subjects that apply to your life and your living, subjects that will cause you to grow, subjects that will give you a real depth of understanding of the Word of God. So that will happen on a Sunday night. Classes will start at 6 o'clock, church time. We'll have 20 minutes or so of worship because, again, we want to make certain that we keep utilizing the worship team that we have and blooding new worship team members, and we need to give them plenty of opportunity for that. And then we will finish lectures by 7:15 each night. And, of course, as of Bible school of old, the lecturers will be encouraged to not just teach the Word of God, but be prepared to pray and minister as God leads, so that there's an interactive aspect. I once was in a Bible school class with Pastor Hal back in, I think it was Oban Road, and Pastor Hal was ministering at Bible school. There was 2 45-minute lessons at that stage, and right in the middle of one of his subject points, he stopped and he said, there's somebody out there and you struggle with ulcers. I want to pray for you. And that was me. I'd grown up and my mouth was always full of ulcers. There was never a day that went by that I didn't have an ulcer in my mouth. Pastor Roxy said, I want you to stand. So I stood and put your finger in your mouth. And he said, I curse that ulcer in Jesus' name. It went. And I've never had, or I've rarely had, ulcers ever since. That's what I mean about being led by the Spirit, being prepared to allow God to lead. Bible school needs to be interactive, and that's what it will be. It'll be exciting, it will be interactive, but it'll be the Word of God being taught. For home groups, we're going to go back to a system that worked very well, a system that I think is very strong. And again, with the whole desire of making certain that we get a raft of Bible teaching out into the assembly. So we're going to ask home group leaders to follow a teaching syllabus that will be prepared for them. It won't be such that you've got to get through a certain amount of stuff each time. It'll be brief dot point notes that you can open up as large as you want, you can debate as much as you want, or you can do just the way they are if you wish. A number of our leaders have indicated that they struggle preparing notes and they find it very hard just to have material. And so we want to make certain that we have material available. And again, this will be in addition. It will be different to what's being preached on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. It'll be a different set of notes. Again, balanced, applicable, and material that we can apply to our daily living. And then, in the process of writing these Bible school notes and Bible college notes, our plan is to put them online so that you, if you wish, can download them and do them, or others can do that. One of the things that has blessed me so much about Pastor Hal and his ministry was that nothing that he ever wrote was copyrighted or banned from being reproduced or given to people. He never charged for anybody for anything. One of the things I find offensive in churches around the world is if you want the material, you can podcast for 5 minutes, but if you want more, you've got to pay for it. And we've got such an incredible wealth of information and knowledge here, such a wealth of material, that it'd be just great to get it out there for people to use freely as they wish. And so we'll continue to follow the principle that Pastor Hal laid down so long ago. And then the Sunday evenings that fall in the school holidays, we're going to use those for training our up-and-coming preachers. I don't know how we're going to actually do it, whether we give three or four people a 10-minute slot and ask them to prepare a message, and we'll video them and then critique them, worship leaders, band members. We're going to use Sunday evenings during the school holidays for practice and for allowing people to have a go. And for me, I would hope that all of you that are here today would come out for those, just to give the encouragement to those that are practicing. We have a lot of opportunity throughout this place for people to practice, youth, young adults, all of those, but there's nothing better than to get on a platform and to have to do it. And so we are serious about training up the next generation. We are serious about blooding people for what God has called them to do. And again, we know that we're investing in something that's going to take time, but what better opportunity? So the third area that we looked at was home groups and leadership training. Unfortunately, and I have to take the blame for this, our home groups and our leadership training has not been strong over the last 10 years. And if we are going to be a church that grows, a church that sees growth and ministers into that growth, we're going to have to grow our home groups. I believe that home groups are vital for ongoing growth, for pastoral care, and for follow-up and counselling. And so with this in mind and taking into consideration the new teaching focus, all the leaders, whether they be present leaders or new leaders, are going to be expected to participate in monthly training. And again, that will be different to what we've done. And we're going to ask you to follow the LMC direction and policy for the way that home groups are run. We hope, or I hope, that many of these people that hopped up this morning and said that they wanted to be involved in what God was doing will now put their hands up and say, I'm prepared to be a home group leader. You know, with the notes prepared for you, anyone could run a home group. When you think about it, a home group is just having a few people around, have a cup of tea, have some supper, have a chat, have a pray, and do a little study. How simple, how great, yet that's where relationships are formed, that's where love is outworked, and that's where new people are connected with another group of people in the church. And so we want to see home groups grow, we want to see home groups developed, and we want to see, again, leaders raised up. And so I hope that you'll be ready for that. Our youth and our CADS leaders, they'll be trained by their own department heads, but they're going to follow the same teaching. And already both youth and Peter Harris and Kim think this is a great idea, and they will just break down the teaching material that the main church is doing to their level. I thought about this while I was away, and at one of the tables that Chris and I are on the holiday that we had, was a group from Seventh-day Adventist, and we got to know them quite well. They were an elderly couple. He was 89 and she was 83. They were both doctors. They were very, very, very bright, and they really loved God. And so as we talked, I said, hey, tell me a little bit about the teaching of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. How do you do it? How do you instruct? Because these guys were incredibly well-versed in the Bible. They knew their Bible extremely well. And they said, well, we have a 10-year syllabus in our church, and every day, or every Saturday, because they have church on a Sunday, every Saturday before main church, we have what we call Sunday school. And it doesn't matter what age you are, it doesn't matter how old you are, you're in a group. And we have a 10-year syllabus that we go through. So every 10 years we start again. And I thought, man, what an awesome thing. What an awesome thing to know that within 10 years you've got a group of people who are all tracking the same, with similar understanding, being able to utilize the knowledge and the gift of the Bible in your lives. And so I thought, well, that is an awesome thing. And that's why I'm going to encourage, or why we're encouraging the youth and Pete and Kim to use the same material. Because it doesn't matter where it fits, it is the Bible. It is the Word of God. As a side, think about this property. Think about this place. Think about how rich the people are, or the kids are, on this property. They get 4 lessons of Bible every week. They get devotions every morning if you're in the school. They get chapel once a week. They get youth on Fridays or kids club. They get frontline church or Sunday school on a Sunday. And they get you people at home talking to them about God. What a rich thing. What an amazing thing. We've got incredible depth here, but we need to continue to grow it, and we need to make sure it's sound. We then looked at the whole area of children, youth, young adults, young marriage, and whilst these areas we think are running brilliantly, except for probably young marriage, which is what Matt will be looking after a bit next year, we saw a weakness in, again, our future leaders, in the training of future leaders. Now, I know that Pete Harris and Kim and Nick and Matt are doing an awesome job in training up leaders, but we need to see these leaders trained and challenged for what they're going to do in the future for God. And so with the teaching and training initiatives already in place, as well as some of the proposed changes, I hope that we'll be able to release more of our up-and-coming young people into ministry and to see them become future leaders of what I think is a great organisation, a great church. And again, I'm not saying that that limits us from seeing people come from the outside in. In fact, when we're looking at DNA, someone said, and rightly so, that if you have all the same people breeding, you're going to be inbred and you're going to have trouble. But then it's not the same people, it's the people with the same spirit that we're looking for. And you catch the same spirit by hanging around with people of the same spirit. And for us as an organisation to have a leadership that has a passion like I do, and like Sally Broadley does, to keep this place pure, to keep it true to its original values, people have got to catch what we have and catch the heart of the foundation of this place. You know, I have ringing in the back of my head always 2 things that Pastor Oxy sowed into my brain. And I'm sure if I asked him what they were, he'd know. The first one is, well, what does the Bible say? That's number one. And the second one is, Graham, what's the precedence? If you do that, what's it going to look like in 30 years' time? Incredibly solid things that ground me. And even though I might be slow to some people in making change, you can guarantee that when we do make change, it's because we've looked ahead and we've looked within the Word of God to make certain that we're staying true. And that's what we want to see happen with our young people particularly, that they grow up with this incredible depth like Andy and Matt have, like Nick has, like Peter Harris has, like Kim has. People that are just birthed in a passion to see the purity of God continue. That's very, very strong for me. That's probably the strongest thing of all of what I'm talking about. To know that I know that I know that nobody's going to run off with this thing and pollute it and change it from what God established for it in the first place. Then the last area that we looked at was the whole area of pastoral care and counselling. Now, I might create a little bit of offence here for some. Please excuse me if I do, and you have to forgive me, so it's a given. I don't think, believe it or not, that long-term counselling really works. From my experience, and I've counselled a lot of people and I've done a lot of counselling and I still do a lot of counselling, Those who want to change are going to change because they have a desire to change. And all I do, or all our counsellors do, is help them know what the Bible says and how to do it. I think that people do need to be encouraged, they do need to be assisted, and I think that everyone in this room is what I would call a common care counsellor. If somebody in your workplace asked you what to do, you'd give them an answer and you'd be counselling them. If you couldn't answer them, then you would go and find somebody who could, or you'd look up the answer. So with this in mind, we're going to encourage people that your first port of call is going to be your home group leader, or somebody that you trust, somebody that you're looking to mentor and guide you. If the home group leader cannot do that, or can't help, doesn't have the experience, then the home group leader will speak to the person in charge of home groups, and they will help. And then if that still needs a little further advice, then the ministry team and the eldership will get involved. What we're trying to do is to encourage people that we all carry the load. And unfortunately, counselling is one of those things that drains people of time and stops us from achieving some of the things that God calls us to do. Yet I think, again, that most people, if they want to change, will change because the Holy Spirit was within them and they have a desire to change. Life Keys is going to continue to play a part in what we do, and we'll continue to pick and choose the courses that we think are going to impact our community or impact the needs of our church. And so we will continue to run that as we have been and as we've been continuing to grow. And those of you that have become facilitators, we want you to continue to do that and be available to do that. Then the last area of weakness was me. Sounds great, doesn't it? And they just looked at the load that I was carrying, the things that I was doing, and I agree that I am a weakness in the place because I do too much and I have my finger in too many pies. And so obviously my desire is that we raise up people that can do what I do. And my job is to make myself redundant, and then Alex Taylor's going to give me a ride-on mower and I'm going to be out there mowing daisies and enjoying the incredible fruitfulness of seeing God grow this place. So whenever that happens, God, I'm ready for it. But the important part in what we're doing is to raise up a stronger team, a team that will take ownership, that will have the capacities and the strengths to be able to take this place forward, and that will release me into being able to look at the strategic areas that we need to continue to develop. And I can honestly say to you, the vision is there. There's no doubt about that. We have so many things that I know God wants us to achieve and do. And when you look at what has happened, even in the last 15 years or so, and how much God has developed, we know it's a line upon line, step by step, precept upon precept thing. And as we're obedient, and as we allow the Spirit of God to lead us, then we know that God will build his church. That's the releasing, freeing thing for me. I don't have to grow the church. That's God's business, because he says, I will grow my church. So let me finally finish, and I'm sorry about being long-winded. Staffing, just to give you a little bit of a quick update on that. Children's ministry, Peter and Kim will continue to run that and all the things that they do. Young Mums, Kids Hope, Chaplaincy, CRE, Kids Club, Sunday Ministry, CADS, High Five. They do an amazing job, and I would just love to have some more resources financially to be able to employ more to help in there. Again, I just honour both Pete and Kim, and Jenny, of course, in just the way that they raise up young people to work with them. And of course, those senior people that work with them as well. Youth will continue to be overseen by Nick, and Andrew is going to join the pastoral staff there and be co-youth pastoring with Nick in that. Chris Blacker will continue to look after young adults, young marriage. Matt is going to start that up, and again, that's one of the big growing areas of our church at the moment. We keep having babies, which is awesome. We keep seeing young people getting married, and so we want to develop that. We want to grow that area. worship, Andy Hunt will continue to look after the whole admin of the church, and to a degree a lot of the centre. I'm going to start to train up Andy in that, and so he'll be walking around looking for little things that are wrong all the time. Isn't that going to be great? Website, marketing, PR, new technology, pastoral assistant, that's going to be part of Matt's area. And Matt will be continuing to work at the school 2 days a week. He's heavily involved at the school in regard to our whole PA and PR and marketing there. And because the school and the church are one and the same as far as ministering on this property, I want Matt to continue to have a part to play and continue to grow in the understanding of our school. And so he'll be employed 2 days a week at the school, and he'll be with us 3 days a week. Chris will continue to oversee chicks, continue to oversee men's. Ken Barrett will continue to oversee seniors with Ken Morrison. And again, when I look around our church, we have a lot of what I would call retired pastors who have incredible depth. I'd love to see our seniors ministry grow. And seniors, well, I was at a retirement village last week ministering, and it is just such an open door. There are so many people. At the retirement village I went to, in the group of 20 that I spoke to, 16 of those people in that group had moved from out in the farms to this area to be with their children or their grandchildren. Yet they're non-churched. Yet they're Bible-based, godly people. What an incredible opportunity we have to grow a seniors ministry. And when you grow a seniors ministry, you grow a depth of understanding of people who have passion, of people who have time, of people who have a heart for the young people. So, seniors, we want you to grow. Missions, John Lowe will continue to look after that. Mike and Phil will continue to look after the audio and the vision and the lighting. So, basically, that's it in a nutshell. And again, I know it's quick. In a minute, you can ask questions if you want. But let me just sum up with a challenge for you, if I may. One, I want you to get behind the initiatives that we've put down. You know, we as an eldership have prayed and we've sought God. We have peace. We believe it's right. But there's always going to be things that need tinkering on the side. You know, we'll do something and we'll find, well, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. Bear with us. Don't criticise us. Give us some strong advice on things that might be better. And we want you to get behind the initiatives. We want to become involved. We want home group leaders. We want people who are going to get involved in all the aspects of our church. We want youth leaders. We want people who are involved in kids ministry. We want people who can be mentors. Remember, we have a generation that we're trying to impact. We want you to increase your commitment, which means that we want you to join a home group. Because if you join a home group, you're going to be shepherded, you're going to be pastorally cared for, you're going to be counselled, you're going to be ministered to. And then we want you to come out to Bible school on a Sunday night. We promise you that it will be interactive. We promise you that it will impact your lives. And then lastly, I want you to financially invest in the future. For us to do what we're doing, we're believing that God is behind this. And so just in wages alone next year, we have increased our wages by $100,000. We've done that by bringing Matt and Andy on, but we've also done that by raising the salaries of our staff. And so we believe that we have been underpaying people, and we want to bring people in line with probably not what the world would pay, but at least close to what the world would pay. And so we need you to honour God with your tithe. Now, I say that way because I have an incredible belief in the provision of God. If we pay our tithe, then God will provide our needs. And that's how I see it. So if everybody here pays their tithe, then God will provide our needs. I have faith for that. And so it's not, guys, we're going to try and raise X number of dollars. We do have to raise $2,000 extra a week.
That's a given. But what I'm saying is, guys, you pay your tithe and you honour God with the first fruits of your life, and I guarantee you that come the end of the year we'll know and see our God as a provider. There was two people I missed out on, and as I was reading that I realised that, and I'm sorry. Chris Blacker is going to be looking after home groups, pastoral care, follow-up and hospitality. And so he's changing roles a little bit there. And Dale is coming off counselling, and Dale's going to work very closely with myself and Chris, and he's going to produce all the Bible school, all the Bible college and all the home group notes. I love Dale. Dale is an incredibly intelligent guy. He has a very similar DNA to us. He's grown up in a strong, godly home, and he's had incredible, strong teaching. And there's no one I'd rather trust the notes to than Dale. And so that's a change for him, and for many of you who have been seeing him, that will be a shock to you. But I want to release him to do what I think is an incredibly vital job as we move forward. So I know it's 7:21 and everyone wants to go home, but do we have any questions? Nice ones, please. Easy ones. No questions. Let's close in prayer. No, I saw a hand. Go, Mike. The microphone will come over to you, Mike.
We on? In terms of the long-term projection, the retirement villages, is there any consideration as to whether that will be built in the longer term? Or?
So you talked about a retirement village. Will we build one? Mm. I don't think so. We have a permit on this property to build, I think it's 27 units. When we first looked at a retirement village long years ago with that, there wasn't the old age issues that are facing now, and commercially retirement villages weren't viable, but now retirement villages are viable and a lot of the commercial organisations are doing it. They also have incredible restrictions on them. You have to build now a nursing hostel to go with it. You have to have on-call nurses. You have to have a whole progression. We would never be able to afford to do that. And I think, seriously, without being unkind to anybody, I would rather invest and put money into the younger part of what we need to do, education, university, things like that. There's enough accommodation in the world around us now in regard to retirement village without us having to do it. And anyhow, 27 units would not be viable.
Thanks,
okay. Tom Winter, I don't want you to talk much. You said to me this morning five things we could go. Could you remember what they were? Forwards, backwards, right, left. What?
Or stay.
Or stay. So how many did I get right?
Oh, you did about all of them.
Got them all right. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, we're going to stand. We're going to sing that last song, I Surrender All. I'm going to ask Pastor Oxley to come and pray for us. And again, I just think it's an amazing thing that we can be in this position, 53 years old as a church, that our founding pastor could be here and he would sit with us and he would listen to the future direction that we plan to go. And I hope, well, I don't hope, I know that he is behind us all the way. So, Pastor Howe, would you just like to pray? You can stay there where you are if you wish.